It is so good to see you in Sunday school this morning. Missed a few of you last week. A couple were sick and a couple had to work and life goes on, but we're glad that you're here this morning. And as Brother Chris said, good to have Rick Sommer with us this morning. When Brother Chris was talking, I thought, boy, you know, I sort of long for that day. Because if you'll remember, you know, now I think, if I haven't looked this up, but I'm probably safe in saying this. I would say the average tenure of a pastor in today's church world might be around 5 years. You think so, Stacy? 5 years, somewhere, 5, 10, maybe? From our era of growing up, it was 20, 30, 40. My pastor pastored Calvary Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas, for 52 years. And so anyway, I miss those days. And when Brother Chris was talking about Brother Sommer being here 33 years, that's just the way it used to be. And a lot of faithful, long-term servants who were committed to what they were doing, and what a blessing that is. I want to say happy Mother's Day to you ladies. I was thinking, I normally get into trouble every time I get into these stories, but I'm going to do it anyway. I was sitting out here, I dropped Valerie off for the practice, and I was sitting out here in the car, and I started watching these birds maneuver. And I've done this before, but it was refreshed in my mind today. That is one of the most beautiful movements. Have you ever just stopped and watched a bird take off and land? Well, see, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful part of life. Now, we're so busy, we miss a lot of the beautiful things, don't we? One of the beautiful things in life is mothers. Now, I told you last week I would try to speed it up. I'm going to have to postpone that just a little bit, okay? Here's why. We've been in 1 Corinthians, and, you know, as you know, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 is all about those gifts that God gives us, not because of the talent that we have or a skill that we're born with, but God gives us through His Holy Spirit. He touches our heart and gives us gifts and ways to serve. Amen? That's what He does. So chapters 12 and chapter 14, which we're not at yet, are really about that gift. And we saw that in chapter 12. Well, sandwiched between 12 and 14 is chapter 13, the love chapter. The love chapter. At the end of chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says, this is all great. These are how gifts work, how God gives gifts, and how He uses people in His service. And there's all kinds of gifts, speaking gifts, helping gifts, serving gifts. There's all these things that we can do. And he says at the end of the chapter, don't get caught up in praying for the showy gifts. That's basically what he was saying. The gifts like Brother Chris, you know, out in front of everybody. Don't get caught up in praying to have those kinds of gifts that are showy and will make people praise you and be awed at what you do. He says, let me show you a better way, a more excellent way that you can serve the Lord. And he goes right into the love chapter. The missing link in Christianity, love. Love. I know I said it the past once every week for about 3 weeks now. In that wonderful passage of Scripture about the beauty of being in God's house and taking advantage of it as much as possible. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. What's he say next? But exhorting one another. That's us. Loving and caring for one another. So this morning I ask for your patience because I'm not going to speed things up. Here's why. today anyway. Mother's Day. Mothers have a kind of love that nobody else can match. We talked last week about the three types of love in the Greek language. The first was eros. It's a passion. It's a lust. Really, it's really nothing more than sex. And although that word is not in the New Testament, it was the most talked about word in society during the times the New Testament was written. Eros. It's not mentioned in the Bible at all. The Bible doesn't use it. The second word for love in the Greek language was phileo. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It's a familial love. It's a love like you would have with your brother, a brotherly love or a motherly love, a family love. And then, of course, we talked about the love in chapter 13, which was agape, and it's a divine love. But even more telling than that, it's a love of the will. I choose to love you, Beverly. I have a desire, a will to love you. That's not always easy, but I choose to do it. It's a beautiful love because it's the type of love that God has for his people. The challenge that we have is it's hard. If you're going to love like God's love, that don't come easy. That's not natural. So when you're talking about mothers, I want to read the chapter first. Very short chapter. That'll help set the mood. 1 Corinthians 13. Let's read it together. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth or puffeth not itself up, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there'll be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there'll be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there'll be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Today's time together, in the 20 minutes we have left or so, is about, number one, what the love in chapter 13 is all about. That's the first part, okay? And because it's Mother's Day, we're going to see how really and truly mothers have a God-given nature that has less problem, has less of a challenge in obtaining an agape type of love. We had everybody over last night, and it was a Mother's Day thing, combined with the birthday of one of our daughters. And Valerie and I had three daughters, as you know, and two daughters, we never thought that there would be a problem with those two being a mother, okay? With one of them, which was Lauren, nobody tell her I said that, okay? We either thought Lauren would have too big a problem being a mom, or she just wouldn't be one. Now, we knew her. We saw how she acted. We saw her strengths and weaknesses. Well, she gets married to Matt, and then they have little Whitney. Whitney's two. And so what we have been privileged to observe is this right here. We were wrong. God has given mothers a nature. Can't explain it. Now let's cover something real quick. It's just like anything else in life. There are exceptions. We are people, and you can't take any one class of people. All men are not just one way. All women are not just one way. So let's get that out of the way. I know there's exceptions. But in the big scheme of things, mothers have a love that is so different than everybody else. And God gave it to them. We looked at Lauren as she was growing up, and we were looking at her through our eyes. What we didn't have the privilege to see is how God saw her. So even though we thought that there would be challenges, we've observed for 2 years now, God gave her just what she needed. Isn't that special? In chapter 13, there's a lot of challenges for us. Why is that? Because we're really good at the phileo love. The phileo love is that brotherly love, and it's all about the emotion, okay? It's all about the best way that a human being can love. The problem with that is this right here. We don't stay the same. And I gave you those three or four songs from the 70s, just the title. I thought about one this week. I think it's from the 70s, Roberta Flack saying, "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow?" Remember that? Well, see, that's very relevant for a human kind of love, because we love based off emotion. You're young, you fall in love, and things are passionate between you. And then life starts changing things. You get old. You get cranky. You know what I mean, Judy? He's got a stare at me right now. Things change. And as opposed to the type of love that God has, which is a choosing love, a willed choice to love, we have that phileo love, even in our marriage, which should be a passionate love, and it is, but things change, don't it? So to the vast majority of humanity, especially today, didn't used to be so much, but it is today, will you still love me tomorrow? No. Because what's people do? They quit. Their love is not one of choice. It's not one of determination. It's not one of consideration to love no matter what. So they quit. They just quit. That's not an agape type of love. That's not a love that is anything like an agape type of love. So mothers, let's establish that. We've established that, rather. Mothers have a special kind of love, And real quick, before we get off that point, let's go back to, I'm not going to talk about eros anymore, that Greek word for passion and lust. Let's center the rest of our time on phileo and agape, and when it concerns motherhood, okay? Phileo, let's talk about that one for a minute when it concerns mothers. I think, this is just my opinion, I think the best kind of phileo love, the highest type of phileo love, is the love of a mother. Now, real quick, I mentioned exceptions. You know, there are exceptions, and also, this conversation doesn't exclude the love of a father. There's good in that as well. That's needed. When we were raising our kids when they were small, Valerie had a type of love for them that I didn't have. You following me? It was different. Mine was good and hers was good. God gave her a nature that I didn't have, okay? And God gave me a nature that she didn't have. We're just different, you know? That's what God put into our being. Now that the kids have grown up, she still has it. Brother Stacy, Valerie, are you up there? Okay. I needed to know so I could choose my wording here. Very wisely. We're going down the road, and she sees a wreck. What goes through her mind first of all, the car that's in the wreck looks vaguely like one of the kids' cars. What goes through her mind, Georgina? Oh, panic. Good night. You know, there are wrecks on the road all the time. Now, just because I don't go there doesn't mean I don't love my kids. I mean, she's there. She's on the phone with whoever has a car that looks like that car. Now, I don't do that, but that doesn't mean I don't have the type of love that God gave me. I saw that when they were little. Oh, here's another one. Be at home, 11 p.m. at night, and she hears a siren. You think the kids are okay? Stuff's happening all the time. What makes you, you know, and it could be your kid and my kid when you hear that siren, but that's a mother's love. My mind doesn't go there. God did not give me that. A mother's love is the highest type of phileo. Now I'm going to give you another one, and then we'll actually get into a few verses. Agape love. That's the hard one. When we start going through all these verses and breaking up those phrases, that's agape love, and none of that stuff is easy. I don't care what you say. It's hard. A mother has less of a challenge, in my opinion, than anybody else to get there to that agape love. You know why? Because God gave it to her. God gave it to her. I've told you this before, but I was in eighth grade. And something that my mother told me angered me. And my brother and sister went in the house. We were outside. My brother and sister in the house went in the house, and mom and dad went in the house, or so I thought. And I let out a little sign of displeasure about what she had told me to do. Well, my dad wasn't quite in the door yet. Now, my mom, if she had heard me say that, which she didn't, she would have been just as patient and kind. She might have said something, Brother Stacy, but it would have been a loving statement. Yeah. You ought not to say that. I'm your mama, you know. Right. Oh, my goodness, what a surprise I got. It was dark outside. And my dad, I know, loved me just as much as my mother did. I know that. Different kind of love, but I know that. I've never been so scared before in my whole life. And I've told you how I was eight, and today you'd get arrested for this, but he slammed me up against the camper of the truck, put his fist right here. I was like this up against the glass. You talk to your mother that way or about your mother one way anymore. You ever do that again, I'm going to get you. I never forgot that. He didn't love me any less. He was giving me something that I needed. As a child, as a boy, as a man, it's very, very important. I think God, in his wisdom and in his infinite wisdom, he gave us these two things that are so different. Weak men, fathers love in your own way. Now, there are exceptions. There are some fathers that are very, they have some of that same wisdom, you know, that maternal kind of love. And that's okay. But by far, God gave mothers the ability to have a love that's at the top of the phileo love, and that is very easy to get to the agape kind of love. So we're grateful for that. We're grateful that God gave you mothers what he gave you in that area. So we're not going to spend too much time in the first couple of verses because that's how we ended last week. But he does say, just as a reminder, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Why did he use those choices of words? Well, if you remember back in chapters 8 and 9, he talked about the fact that the people of Corinth, their idols meant nothing. He was talking about eating meats. We've had this, you know, we've talked about it a lot. But the point is that they were nothing. Don't worry about those idols that the people in Corinth are worshiping. You don't need to worry about it because there's nothing there. It's all just made up. There's nothing there. But what they did in the worship of those idols was a out of mind, kind of an out of body experience, and there was a loud cacophony of sounds and noises and a lot of confusion, and cymbals were a part of it, as were gongs. Historians tell us this. It was just noise. And here Paul's been talking about gifts from the Holy Spirit, and he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and I don't have that most important part, which is charity, I'm just like what they're doing over there. It's all a bunch of noise. It's nothing. I think about that in my service to God. I do not want my service to him, whatever it may be, to be nothing. And it's so easy to get there, isn't it? Whether it's from envy, well, I wish I could sing like him, or I wish I had his way of this or that. No, that tends to lead to something that's not charity and not love. So Paul says, you'll be just like them if you try to serve me or if you try to serve the Lord and don't have the love in your life that's required. Then he says in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And you'll start to see what's going on here is the fact that chapters 12, as I said, and chapter 14, as I said, is all about these wonderful gifts of serving in the kingdom of God. And right in the middle, he says, well, let's slow down. Let's pause for just a minute. Before we go any farther, let's talk about the most important thing. So Dwayne and Linda, as you're loving each other, I mean, as you're serving each other, in whatever way that we serve each other, we got to love each other first, or it's all a bunch of noise. Suppose we have the greatest understanding and we can teach and Linda can play and this and that. If you don't do it in a heart of love and a heart of charity, it's nothing. It's nothing in the service of our Lord. And so he helps us see that over and over in these verses. I'm sorry, I lost my place here. Turned too many pages. And then he says, in verse 13, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that sounds good, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Well, now, wait a minute. You know, years later, the practice of putting Christians on the stake and burning them became common practice. They had to be martyrs for Christ. We don't have to do that these days. And Paul says, even though that might happen, if I do it without a state of love and charity in my heart, there's no profit in it. There's nothing there. So in verse 1, we're talking about love that comes from the heart. In verse 2, we're talking about love that's from the mind or the intellect. And in verse 3, we're talking about love that is a love of the will. You choose to give all your goods to feed the poor. You choose to die on the stake for your faith. Whether it's intellect, whether it's of the heart, or whether it's of the will, if it's done without love, you might as well go home. There's no meaning to it. And so Paul uses this as a time to help us see, before we go on and we talk more about what the kind of service you can give to others and what kind of gift that the Holy Spirit gives you in your Christian life, before you go on to chapter 14, he says, let's talk about this charity for a minute, how important it is. He says in verse 4, charity suffereth long and it's kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. That phrase, charity suffers long, just means it's patient and it's kind. Once again, that was the definition of my mother. My dad, not so much. He had a different kind of love, but it wasn't patient. And sometimes it wasn't kind, but it's what I needed. And here Paul says, if you're going to have the love that I want you to have, it's going to be a patient love. And it's going to be a kind love. He says in 1 or 2 Timothy, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I've told you this before, but I love my sister to death. Her name's Pat. And she's been so good to our family, and we love her to death. But growing up, she had fiery red hair. And she heard somewhere that red-haired people normally are more angry than other people. I don't know where she heard this, but that's what she thought. So when she wanted to get mad at us for whatever reason, she would use that as an excuse, you know, when we were growing up. And I didn't know anything back then, but I knew enough that was crazy. That's crazy thinking right there. Well, I've known some Christians. They weren't kind. They weren't tender. Now, men, we struggle with this tender thing, don't we? We do. I tell you, we do. I don't see many heads shaking, but we do. Sometimes we struggle with kindness. But we do not have the right, just because we're a child of God, just because we have a nature that God gives us as dads and grandparents. I mean, I look at Whitney right now, and Valerie's got a kind, tender, patient love to Whitney. And I love her just as much, but what she's going to get from me is structure. And I'm not going to apologize for it. Happy Mother's Day. God gave you an ability to be kind and patient and tender-hearted. And you don't have to work at it, do you? Well, some of you might, but most of you ladies don't have to work at that because God made you that way. Paul reminds us that that's the kind of love that you need to have. It needs to be patient. Now, I give you this much. Some people have more of a struggle with being patient than others. But he tells us to do it anyway. And then he says, love envieth not. Love is content with where you are. We saw that 3 or 4 chapters ago too. You remember, Paul was trying to take one chapter, and he was trying to talk to the single people and the married people and the divorced people, and he was saying this to everybody, and he said, don't be afraid to be content in the position that God has placed you now. Because the letter that Chloe had sent him from different people in the church had said, should I get married? I'm divorced. Should I get remarried? I'm widowed. Should I get remarried? And Paul took the opportunity at the end of the chapter, said, hey, number one, consider being content in the place where God has placed you. That's not an easy thing to do sometimes. We get so caught up in wanting to serve Him. We get so caught up in wanting to do the right thing and being beneficial in God's service and doing exactly what He wants us to do. And what He wants us to do may very well be, hey, do what you're doing. You can serve me there just as much as you can serve me anywhere else. Now, where does that come in with envy? Well, what I said just a moment ago, it's real easy for us men and women in the church to be envious of other people. It's so easy to look at the, you know, one political thing we have in our country is we've got a lot of people who are saying, you know, life is not fair with economics, so we need to tax the rich. We need to get more out of them. This is not a political statement. It's just a thought process here, a matter of philosophy that Paul is saying is be content where you are. If you got $1 billion, thank God for it and live with it. If you're poor, be content where you are. Don't be envious that other people have something that you don't. Envy destroys people. You remember when they were in the disciples were in the upper room, and John was leaning up against Jesus' breast. These are the last minutes before Jesus was crucified. And John, in so many words, the way it's written in the Gospels, it leads us to believe that while Jesus was talking, John interrupts him and says, well, what about Peter? And he was pointing to Simon Peter. What about him? And basically Jesus said, John, don't worry about Peter. You take care of yourself. You be worried about yourself. Because we're not supposed to envy people. We're not supposed to, you know, be concerned that this guy or this lady's got more skill and ways to serve than I do. What about Jonathan in the Old Testament? The son of David, you remember that? The son of Saul, I mean. Jonathan was not envious of David. Wonderful story. Jonathan had all rights to the kingship of Israel. And yet here comes David on the scene. God's blessed him and He's going to promote him to the top. And there's not a bone of jealousy or envy in his body. Do not envy. That's what he's telling us here. A true love, a true charity, an agape type of love. A love of will, a love of choice, the kind that God has, doesn't look at other people and be envious at what they've got or what they can do. So you're going to see, the more we go through each of these verses, that agape type of love, that God-like type of love, is hard for us because we're human beings and it just don't come easy. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for mothers today and